Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Podcast. Yes, I have been on quite a roll. In fact, I like Thursday, the Eagles plus four. So actually, 10-2-1 last 13 picks. Here we go. First with my Blazing Five.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Titans at Falcons.
I'm going to take Tennessee plus 3.5. Listen, don't bail on Tennessee. There are Jekyll and Hyde team in the NFL. Awful 1 week last year, crushed the Cowboys. Awful the next week, crushed New England. Atlanta's really been troublesome to me. Matt Ryan leads the NFL with 6 interceptions. He had 7 all last year. Obviously, they have a coordinator quarterback issue. They are tied for the Browns for the most penalties in the league. They're a mess. The Falcons have the third worst third down defense, meaning Matt Ryan for long stretches sits on the sidelines. By the way, the Titans have done this well. Turnover differential, plus 4. Tennessee's got a good coach, a good offensive line. You just can't bail on Tennessee, and I know you want to. But they finished 9-7, 9-7, 9-7 the last 3 years. They're just inconsistent because Marcus Mariota's inconsistent. But I'm getting over a field goal here. I'm going to call for an upset. Tennessee wins 27-24.
Browns at Ravens.
I do not generally like laying a touchdown, but I'm going to take Baltimore minus 7 here. Cleveland's been the picture of inefficiency. Penalties lead the NFL. Baker Mayfield, interceptions, second most in the league. They're converting 28% on third down with all those talented players. Cleveland is just inefficient. Baltimore's the opposite. They have a lower ceiling but are completely efficient. Only team in the NFL without a turnover. Points, yards, rushing. First. I don't think Lamar is there yet. But he knows it and they know it and they don't put him in situations to fail. I think Cleveland continually puts Baker in positions to fail. I also think there's a total mismatch. Baltimore's offensive line is fantastic. Cleveland's is junk. Time of possession, Ravens have the ball for 38 minutes, and they win 29-17 and cover.
Raiders at Colts.
I'm going to go against the public on this. I'm going to take the Raiders plus 6.5. First of all, that rookie running back from Alabama, Josh Jacobs, leads all rookie running backs. By the way, Colts have struggled defensively to stop the run. Raiders' young tight end is top 10 in the league in catches for tight ends. The Raiders have done some things well. They're running the football. Their O-line is better. They've got a really good skilled wide receiving core. Here's the problem with the Indianapolis so far. They've won, but barely, and their defense has been really underwhelming. 28th in red zone defense, 28th in third down defense. I think the Raiders are going to convert a lot of third downs in this game and keep it very close. We paid so much attention when Andrew Luck retired to Jacoby Brissett, and I do like what I'm seeing with the Colts offense. I don't like what I'm seeing it with a defense. I don't see the speed. I don't see them getting people off the field. I think it's a 27-26 game either way. I'm taking the Raiders and 6.5, 27-26. I think Andy probably pulls it out, but I'll take the points.
Seahawks at Cardinals.
I love it. This game's always close. Seattle last week had a 2-1 statistical edge on New Orleans and got crushed. They're not converting enough. Seahawks are allowing almost 27 points a game. The Seahawks, 3 wins. All their games have been decided by 6 points or less. They're winning statistical battles and can't put people away. That's a troubling sign. That'll come back to haunt Seattle against better teams. Listen, Arizona, say this about Arizona. They've played real teams. Detroit hasn't lost a game. Baltimore looks good. They went right toe-to-toe with them. Carolina's got all sorts of good players. Arizona's faced good teams. They are staying in games. And I think with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, even though they're losing, the locker room feels like we're not a Super Bowl team. We know it. But we are getting better week after week. I think Arizona's a very interesting story here. Again, I think it's a 24-23, very ugly game. Seattle may lead most of it. I'll take Kyler Murray to come back, get a backdoor cover. Arizona covers, loses, but covers. 24-23 Hawks.
Cowboys at Saints.
I mean, this is a gift. I get New Orleans, which I think could be the better team, and they're at home, and I get the superior coach, and I get 2.5 points. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater in 19 starts. I'll put the numbers up. He's pretty good. By the way, Alvin Kamara at home, 6 TDs past 5 home games. He's really good. Saints don't turn the ball over. 3 turnovers all year. By the way, that pass rush, 9 sacks. I think I may be getting the better team here. I'm getting the better coach. I'm getting home field advantage. I'm getting Sunday night football so people in New Orleans can lubricate all day Sunday. It'll be the loudest crowd of the year. And I'm getting the better team. I'm going to take the Saints to win it outright, 28-27. So here's my Blazing Five. I'm taking points with Tennessee. I'm going to swallow points and go Baltimore. I'm taking the dog Raiders, the dog Cardinals, and the dog Saints. So I have 4 underdogs in my Blazing Five this week. All right, let's start with this. I think the Titans have been, over the last couple of years, plus 4 against Atlanta, a very strange team. You have to be careful about falling in love with them, but you can't bail on them, RJ. RJ Bell joining us, pregame.com, at RJ in Vegas Twitter. I like them here. I think defensive line edge, I don't trust right now Dirk Cutter and Matt Ryan. Matt's interceptions are way up, so I'm going to take the Titans. I get more than a field goal here with that staff and that O-line plus 4. What do the wise guys think?
Agreement. Now, the Titans have the biggest disparate results, I think you could say, this season, whereas against the Browns, they look mighty good. I mean, blowout city, and then they lose at home against the Colts, but the Colts have turned out to be pretty good, but boy, oh boy, on Thursday night, did they look bad against Jacksonville? I mean, just bad. So I agree with you. I like the coach with Tennessee, but this year it hasn't felt like a really well-coached team. Speaking of Coach O, right now in the betting markets offshore, the coach that's favored to get fired first, Quinn.
Yeah.
From the Falcons.
Well, when you got a good quarterback and you can't win, owners see that.
And you mentioned the interceptions. 6 picks this season for Matt Ryan, only 7 all of last season. Last trend, let me ask you if there's any rhyme or reason to this one. The Falcons are 0-12 against the spread, last 12 games against the AFC. Is that purely random, or could it be, and let me throw the theory out, that when you only play a team every 4 years, you've got to be able to quickly come up with a game plan, and maybe coaching deficiencies show themselves when you're less familiar. Yeah. Because if you're familiar in division, for example, the other extreme, well, even if you're not good with game plans, you're going to eventually figure out how to play those guys. Once every 4 years, it's tougher. Could this be a sign of Quinn not being a good coach? 0-12 against the AFC.
All right, so I get agreement there. I'm going to go, and this is a big number, and I have a feeling I'm wrong. I told my staff, I said, RJ's not going to like this. I'm going to take Baltimore minus 7. Now, Lamar Jackson is really struggling, but I think I get a coaching mismatch. I really, really like Baltimore's offensive line, and I think you can run right at the Browns as long as you keep away from Myles Garrett. So I think Baltimore will own time of possession here and keep it away from those dynamic Brown receivers. I'm going to take Ravens minus 7. What do the wise guys think?
Okay, so you're taking the Ravens,
yes,
minus 7. You know something? I'm going to give you agreement on this one.
Oh, you are?
Yeah,
oh,
you know,
I am shocked.
This is one of those, we call it, I think I told you this once, duct tape shoe guys. It's the guys that have the, oh, you only take the underdog, you only blah, blah, blah. And the reality is sometimes the underdog's not the value play. Now, you said something. Did you say Lamar Jackson's been struggling? Or you meant Baker?
Well, Baker's struggling, we know it. Lamar's got a better coach, a better O-line, a better running game. He's got a better system. But, you know, he was hit and miss against Kansas City.
No, I agree. But I think if you look across the season,
yes,
and it's hard to say that Ravens have underperformed. They even covered, you know, which is pretty important,
yeah,
against KC with the back door. I think there's 2 things that make me agree with you with Baltimore here. Number one is, with this quirky offense, you need discipline and coaching on the other side.
Yeah.
So the Ravens are very quirky. Well, at this point, Kitchens, I'm not sure if he's an NFL-level head coach.
I agree.
And number two, I know the Browns don't have discipline. And if you look at the most penalties in the NFL, that's a pretty good sign. Now, on the other side of the ball is Mayfield has been struggling under pressure.
Yes.
So 37 quarterbacks, passer rating under pressure, he's number 33. So forget the starters. He's outside of the starters, 32 teams, when it comes to pressure. Well, the Ravens lead the league in quarterback hits. So the given is the Ravens are going to get pressure on you. Can you throw decently under pressure? Mayfield shows he can't. I'm going to lay the 7 and take the Ravens.
All right, let's go to one. Now, this will be, I'm 2-0 in agreements. We know the Raiders are a bit of a mess, but I still think offensively, John Gruden, Derek Carr, improved O-line running game, they can score points. When I look at the Colts, so I'm going to take the Raiders plus 7 at Indy. Here's the thing. We are spending so much time talking about Jacoby Brissett, and he's been terrific. Their defense, though, in Indy, to me, RJ, has been a little bit of a disappointment. People are moving the ball on Indy. So I do think Indy probably wins here, but I do feel I get a better quarterback. I get a touchdown, and Indy, I'm not sure if T.Y. Hilton's going to play now. So I'm going to go with the Raiders plus 7. Where do the wise guys land?
Now, the duct tape shoe guys would agree, but we're disagreeing on this one. See, it bites both ways.
Right.
Here's the thing. Now, when you're talking about how much you're talking about Jacoby Brissett, now, I listen to your show every day.
Yes, yeah.
I haven't heard much about him.
Because I think he's solid, but I think there's too many great young quarterbacks.
No, I hear you. I'm just saying is the idea that he's getting all this attention, all this love. I would say that the Colts have certainly performed better than expected. Remember, after Andrew Luck, the season win total when he retired was about 7.5. So the assumption was the Colts would be slightly below average team. I think that's been a reevaluation pretty quickly. And you've been a fan of the Colts front office. I think it really is a validation.
Yes, of their front office. It knows no quite this. There starts a validation of their GM. But I think their ceiling's lower and their defense isn't playing that great.
Yeah, and you're right. Here's the stat to speak to that. So yards allowed per possession, Raiders are 29th. So they're giving up a lot of yards on defense. Colts are 28th, so not as good a D. Now, remember, early in the year, and we'll get to this later with the Patriots game, strength of schedule is so important because when you only play 3 games, you look at the Cowboys, for example, strength of schedule is horrible, but they still look great. One more thing about the Raiders. I'm not sure, and I got to say as an avid listener, it's always like, well, this is going to be the 19th thing in a row I say critical of John Gruden. But I love him, but here comes. So I'm not sure how much you love Gruden. I'm just saying as a fan.
I like him as a friend. I like him as a TV guy. I think he's a little over his skis sometimes as a football operations guy.
Well, think about this. You just said the key words. On the road, early start, 10 a.m. is where routine discipline matters. Or just in general on the road, Gruden is 1-8 straight up in his tenure now, second time here, 2-7 against the spread. Now, early start time makes that even more important, that kind of Belichickian discipline. But you know what else does? Next week, the Raiders play in London. So now they're getting all these preparations ready at the same time they're flying into Indy. I'm guessing, and I haven't verified this, they're going to fly straight to London.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're having a double pack and all of the machinations around that, all the logistics, I think it's a huge distraction. Last thing is the Raiders, after they lost easily last week, a couple of the players are saying, we can't take this lying down, we can't take this easily, which is code for some of the team doesn't seem to really care all that much.
Yeah.
So to me, I think this team could give up on the field potentially if they get down 14. So I don't want them plus 7.
All right, finally, or not finally, my fourth pick, I have 2-1 agreement. I'm going to take Arizona at home plus the points against Seattle. You know, first of all, they've faced some pretty good teams. They faced Baltimore and they were feisty. They faced Detroit and they were feisty. I think they're showing growth, RJ, every week. Seattle, if you didn't watch that game, Seattle got pushed all over the field by New Orleans. They lost special teams, defense, and offense. I think Arizona historically keeps it close here. And 5.5 is too much. What do the wise guys think?
Favorite pick of the week here. Love it. I'm going to make a couple bold predictions. This is one of them. Seattle does not go above 500 this year. I think this team is way overrated.
Yeah.
You mentioned it. Against the Saints, Seattle did dominate.
The stats.
515 yards against 265.
Yeah.
11 more first downs. Wilson, 400-plus yards. That said, I think the Saints with Bridgewater, not near as good as people think, not near as good as you think, I would guess. And here's the thing about Arizona, and this is kind of a quirky little thing. They're the second team in the last 30 years to be 3-0 against the spread, but winless in the win column, the actual win column.
So they're actually going down with a fight.
Yes.
And I also believe this, with a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback, the locker room is strong because everybody knows they're not going to the Super Bowl. They're looking for weekly growth. And I think it's a very good locker room. That's why they're not bailing. They're in these games, they lose them, and they fly home and think, we're getting close. I think they can win this game.
Yeah, and actually looking at it, and I made a little computational error. They didn't cover against Carolina, but what they did do so, but you're right. They have been competitive, especially net-net in the second half. If you look at it, they've been outscored by 29 points in the first half, and they've actually outscored their opponents by 5 points in the second half. And I think this has to do with the pace of the offense. Whereas you've got a college system that's fast-paced, and I think the other teams are struggling in the second half. So this is a little niche, but if you do like Arizona here, I personally would like them more in the second half than the first. And you can actually bet at halftime the second half. And if you do like Seattle, I like them much more in the first half. But net-net, I agree with you with Arizona.
Okay, I'm going to take the Saints plus 2.5. So I get agreement for the week against Dallas. So the Saints beat a playoff team, Houston. The Saints lost Breeze and got a bad whistle, could have beaten L.A. And the Saints beat Seattle on the road, all three playoff teams. They have lived in a world of discomfort this year. Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Jared Goff, Sean McVay, Pete Carroll. These are winning coaches, Hall of Fame-level talents. Dallas, Dak has faced the least pressure in the league. It's been nothing but comfort. Now it's Superdome against this defense. I think it's going to be a little jarring for Dallas, at least in the first half, and I'm going to take the Saints, who have faced discomfort all season and could be 3-0, I'm taking them in the points. What do the wise guys think?
I think the duct tape shoe guys agree with you. I'm going the other way again. I like Dallas here. Listen, this is my second big statement. Teddy Bridgewater is not a starting quarterback. I heard you on the show say, oh, yeah, he's not top half of the league, but, you know, he's a really solid. No, he's not a really solid starter. I really don't think so. Now, this is my opinion. Most people disagree with me. If you look at his yardage after the catch, because one thing we've learned in the modern NFL, any competent quarterback can complete short passes. If the other team knows that's all you've got, they make it so hard. This is the old, and obviously you've come off this as the years have gone by, but the old dink and dack and dunk and all that stuff. Because really, a rookie completing short passes, hey, that's the way things are. You can do that if you're competent. What has Bridgewater, and let me ask you, Colin, what has Bridgewater done since his injury, even in the preseason, that has shown he can go downfield? In every subseason, either the regular season where he played one or two games since, or, and this year being a good example of that, or even preseasons, he's had a yards per attempt below the NFL average of 7.5 yards per attempt. He's never above that average. How can that be? He's not going downfield.
Yes, but Breeze last 2 years hasn't gone downfield, especially late in the years. I think his poise, his IQ, his coachability, he's a great distributor. He's a reasonable facsimile to Breeze. Drew Breeze does not throw the ball down the field plus 20 yards. So they've built an offense on screens and Michael Thomas over the middle possession. And I think it's effective with that defense.
Yeah, and I think that it's to varying degrees, right?
Right.
It's like the guy who's got 20 pounds on his belly is heavy, and so is the guy 400 pounds.
Right.
I think you're right. Breeze is not going downfield in a massive way, but at least the 18-20-yard pass is a threat. With Bridgewater, I don't know how much of this is Sean Payton's just doesn't want him to lose his confidence and he's keeping the reins on him. But you would think in the preseason they would have let him go downfield. So to me, this is a bet on Dak. And one more thing about Dak, you know, in these next-gen stats, a lot of people starting to talk about these wonderful stats, I think, in some ways, because they actually capture what's happening on the field, not just the yardage. And if you look at Dak and they estimate, okay, based on the difficulty of his passes, and they grade every pass he's thrown, how many should he complete? He's exceeded that significantly. So Dak is becoming as accurate as any quarterback in the NFL, at least based on this season. This guy is playing literally like a superstar at this point. Now, the competition hasn't been great, but I think the Cowboys are better than people think. I like Dallas Lane less than a field goal.
Finally, bonus pick, the last pick I was going to make and didn't. Bills plus +7, I would take them against New England. I think Buffalo's defense is better than people think. I think it's excellent. I think they're well coached. The reason I took this out, Belichick literally humiliates young quarterbacks, and Josh Allen is not at the level that he can play error-free football, and I think he'll make a big mistake, and I just don't trust him because I think New England's defense is as good as it's been in a decade. So I'm not going to bet this, but I would have taken Bills plus +7. What would the wise guys think our bonus pick?
Again, the duct tape, you guys would have agreed. I disagree on this one. I like New England, and I'm going to make my final announcement. I'm retiring betting against Belichick. I had the Jets last week, and that backdoor cover, I'm going to say, that's it. I'm done. And I've been quoting a stat with you, with others for years, that Belichick is about 60% against the spread.
Yep.
It's awesome. Zimmer's actually been better since he started, but Belichick's been second. You know what's amazing? If you actually go back now 60 games, which goes back to 2016, Belichick is 42-18 against the spread. It's almost incomprehensible that at this time where he has the biggest brand, Brady has the biggest brand, they still are covering when you know everyone wants to bet him. And by definition, it's a marketplace. More people bet him, the more expensive the Pats have been, and they're still cheap because they keep covering the spread. Look at how they do in Buffalo. Last 15 trips, 15 to Buffalo, they've lost one straight up. Only two the Patriots have lost against the spread. So they're good in that spot. And you said a really good D, best D of the decade for the Pats. Maybe the best D of the decade in the NFL. First defense in NFL history not to allow a touchdown in three straight games to start the season. Oh, by the way, the Super Bowl was the fourth game. They didn't allow a touchdown there offensively. Think about that. Four straight NFL games in the modern era without allowing a touchdown.
Think about this. How many possessions have opposing teams had against New England this year?
Yeah, so if you look at the possession count, there's been 39 possessions.
How many times have people scored on it?
Once.
I mean, it's just, I know they're not facing great teams, but they face the Steelers. That's insane.
And then think about this. The second best in that stat, the Bills, 6 out of 37 possessions.
Yeah.
So the Pats could have given up not one, but 2, 3, 4, and 5 and still been leading the league in possessions allowed to score for the opponent.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this. I believe the Patriots, last thing, are going to be on offense like they were with Gronk last year. Gronk was like the car, a guy like you that can have 3 or 4 cars. I know you don't, but
I
know you
don't
even buy coffee.
Yes.
I know you won't even buy coffee out.
Right.
But if you have that 3rd or 4th car, you only bring it out if it's sunny on a Sunday, if everything's right. It got to be 60 degrees, put the top down. Well, that's how they were with Gronk, right?
Yeah.
I think they're going to be running power football, the Pats, when they don't need to have Brady in harm's way. And then it's going to be like, huh, they didn't really get much margin there. Huh. But then when they need it, Brady's going to show things that he isn't showing the rest of the time. Why? Because why beat him up? At his age, this is unprecedented. He, even in his late 30s, was falling off at the end of the years. I think they try to save him. But this game, a statement game against an undefeated team, I think you see more offense from Brady than you have the rest of this year.
So I've got a 3-2 agreement, the bonus pick. I like the Bills. He likes the Patriots. RJ Bell, pregame.com on Fox Sports Radio at RJ in Vegas. Good talking to you, bud.
Thank you.